Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Hi.
Manny Kennedy.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. And yeah, we started out bad. For news you'll get at the end, Mandy's just upset already towards our video game section. We're going to start, though, with some movies and TV stuff. I want to start, just go ahead and knock it out, because I'm the only one that saw it. Black Panther, the spoiler-free review. Full price, absolutely. Go see it right now. It was a legitimately good film. Like, it just... I don't really have much vested interest in Black Panther. Like, he was super cool in Civil War, and that was where my interest started and ended. And I went into this movie expecting good things because it's the MCU, and they just keep pumping out good stuff, like good movie after good movie. And I was very pleasantly surprised. This movie ended up just being an outright good movie and absolutely worth seeing, and I will likely try to see it again while it's still in theaters. It's also hit nearly $200 million in its opening weekend. People are speculating that's going to blow up even more because Monday is a holiday, and holidays are notoriously good days for movie theaters. So, yeah.
Yeah, because it's projected to hit almost three. It's like 277 is what the projections are looking like.
Which would put it right now, it is at the number two highest grossing MCU movie on opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And if it hits that, that will beat out the first Avengers is the highest grossing. Dang. So for opening weekend, importantly.
And that's awesome. Like, I think this is like a really, outside of just the Marvel stuff, I think this is an important movie.
Yes.
And for it to be doing so well makes me really happy.
Yeah. And everything about it, like, I have zero complaints with this film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was one part of it where it's like, well, there were two lines could have saved a whole lot of trouble in this movie. But that's not really... an issue with the movie or characters or anything. It's just, man, this could have been a lot different if one character had said two lines. But yeah, no, I
why did you say that name? Martha, right? Those are the lines?
Those are the lines. Yeah, okay. that would have saved a lot of trouble. Batman wouldn't have died, and like it's crazy. anyway, it was good. Go see it. It's absolutely worth it. I know Monday is a holiday, so... knock it out. We got to see a new trailer for Incredibles 2. So we got to see a little bit more information with that. We got to see Frozone. We got to see a lot more of Jack-Jack's powers, which, boy, that looks like it's going to get really annoying really quick.
I still haven't seen the first Incredibles.
Oh.
I know. It's not like it's a thing I've been actively avoiding. It just, I haven't had the chance to.
But it sounds like we have a movie night now. Also, I have an excuse to go buy The Incredibles on Blu-ray.
I own it on Blu-ray.
But I don't yet, so it's going to give me an excuse to own it on Blu-ray.
I mean, I'm fine with a movie night for Incredibles. Like, we can make that happen.
It's so good.
It really is. I really, really like The Incredibles. And I'm really excited about the sequel. But I really hope that it's not as... heavily based on the adventures of Jack-Jack as the preview made it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that's just that part of the preview.
I heard someone talking about how like the first movie was kind of like the dad story, and that this one looks like it's going to be more focused on the mom.
Yeah, from the
It did kind of seem like a little bit of that in the trailer.
Yeah, from the look of the trailer, it made it look like Elastigirl is getting a lot of these job offers, and they want her as the poster child for whatever they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And that means she's out and about a whole lot, which leaves Mr. Incredible at home with the kids dealing with Jack-Jack and his new budding superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it looks interesting. I'm still going to watch it, but like I said, I just really hope it's not... it's kind of like how I thought with Guardians 2. Like, I really hope there's not that much Baby Groot. So, we'll see how it goes.
I mean, and it's Pixar. So, I mean, that's a good start.
It's true.
It's a Pixar movie that doesn't have Cars in the title. So, I mean, it should be good.
Right. Again, Cars is only not good to us because we are not the audience.
Oh, I disagree. I think that whatever the last one was it 3?
Yeah, Cars 3.
I'm pretty sure that was just a bad movie.
I mean, I don't know. Again, it's not marketed towards me at all. I didn't like any of the Cars movies.
I liked the first two.
I saw the first two and meh.
Mikey liked 3, but he wasn't near as obsessed with it. Like, he got it on DVD or Blu-ray or some kind of own it.
He owns the disc.
And for Christmas, and he hasn't really touched it, but I couldn't tell you how many times I've seen Cars 1 and Cars 2.
Well, Cars 1 and Cars 2 are good. It was like the one time Pixar really
cashed. Cars 2 wasn't that great.
Well, yeah, okay. but compared to the steaming pile that was Cars 3.
Yeah.
And see, I feel like your son is the target audience.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that does mean something to me, because I know, like, I need to see how my nephew liked it, because I think he's right around the same age as Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
And he, every time I went over to my parents' house, if he was there, something on the TV was Cars related. Yeah. Either one of the two movies, one of the offshoot TV shows, because he loved everything about Mater.
Yeah.
And again, I recognize this was very clearly not for me, because it was the dumbest thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But my nephew just sitting there eating it up with all of his little Cars figures surrounding him in his Cars pajamas.
Yeah. He plays with the toys sometimes, but he's also like shifted on to like Mario and Sonic and Minecraft stuff that's like slightly older. So he might not be, but I mean, how old am I? I still watch Disney movies like Moana. So really, I don't know.
No, like some Disney movies are legitimately like, they're just good films.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they are targeted where kids can enjoy them, but so can adults. But then you get, you know, some movies that are absolutely targeted towards the younger crowd and with almost no redeeming qualities for the parents or uncles that have to watch it with them.
I feel like with Cars 3, like, oh, he thought it was okay, the studio would consider that a miss.
Yeah.
Because that, like, their goal is nothing short of obsessed with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because obsessed with means buying toys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
yeah. I have, like, 7 different versions of Lightning McQueen.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, 3 of them are all still red.
Welcome to my world.
Not even.
No, I own 5 Finn Balors. Welcome to my world.
Okay, but there's Finn Balor and there's Lightning McQueen. Like, let's be real. Yeah,
Finn's way more cool. He has way more abs.
Yeah, but what's sold more toys?
Well, that's not fair. They've only made 5 Finn Balors.
But the point is, my nephew has 2 toy chests. He has the toy chest, and then he has the Cars chest. It's significant. So, yeah, no, Disney would consider that a miss. So I need to ask my mom about his opinions on Cars 3, because I'm curious. Either way, Incredibles. The first one was incredible, so I'm hoping the second one will be too.
And usually
let's not move on so quickly here. So I think we need to draw attention to what you just did there.
No, we don't.
Atone for your sins.
But whenever Pixar airs out their sequels, unlike Cars, whenever they air them out over the course of a couple of years, you get a lot of really good ones. Like Finding Dory was good. Toy Story 3 was a masterpiece in making a grown man cry. Still.
But they also knew that.
Yeah,
that we one had was aged to us. They knew. Yeah, this one probably not so 18
year old me hated that movie because it made me feel everything.
Mm-hmm.
All the feelings. Yeah. So anyway, Batman. We got Batman Ninja. We talked about it a while back. It's the anime styled Batman movie where he's thrown back into feudal Japan.
Archer Batman. Because it looks like Archer.
The animation style is interesting. It's like a Japanese animation take on Archer animation.
Some of it looks really, really cool. And then other bits of it really legitimately remind me of like those old MTV shows from like 2000s. Where they just look bad.
Ultraviolet?
Maybe, but like it's just like I get what they're going for. It's just it doesn't.
I'd have to see the full product.
Because some of it looks amazing. Like that scene with the Joker Viking boat looking thing looked awesome.
Yeah.
But then like some of the combat where it's focused on a person and they like move their head and their neck just looks weird.
I thought it looked kind of neat.
I like the style. It's just it doesn't look like they're.
It looks kind of disjointed anime. It almost reminds me of Ruby. I don't know if you've watched any of that Rooster Teeth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where like every single combat animation looks phenomenal, but everything else looks awful.
So weird and
like where they're just walking down the street or something.
Yeah, like if
I don't even know.
It's a Rooster Teeth style anime, but it's like 3D animation. It was made by like Monty Oom, who died a couple of years ago, and the concept was super popular. They released a bunch of videos. Monty was a phenomenal animator with, you know, for the tools that he had. And he did super cool combat animations and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he released these music videos around each of the main four characters of Ruby. I remember I was super hyped for it. And yep. So was like Krista and Mandy and a few other people. And I remember when we were watching it, the fight scenes were great. But the every other scene looked like early 2000s Flash animation with like high quality images. Like there were people like... There were models clipping through, like, the background. Like, at one point, they were sitting at desks, and their hands were clipping through the table on the desk that they were sitting at. And I was like, oh, my God, how does that get past post?
Also, I think the show that you might have been thinking of was Aeon Flux.
It was, like, the one I'm thinking of was just straight-up 3D. It wasn't a cartoon, but I don't... It is completely irrelevant. Was this the one where... Who was the cosplayer that we did saw the
Jessica
panel?
Jessica Negri.
Does she do a voice for that?
Yes.
Okay, because I think I remember her talking about the, like, she was talking about that show.
Yeah, she was talking about doing the voice.
Yeah,
work
she was
for
like
it.
Good friends with them and stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. So yeah, that's kind of what this animation reminds me of, but a little bit more high quality.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hear Rooster Teeth, the story has gotten really, really good, but whew, cannot get past that animation.
It's like me and the Telltale games. Like I love Borderlands.
Mm-hmm.
I could not play more than an hour of Tales from the Borderlands because their engine is so garbage. It's so bad, it totally took me out of it.
That is,
and that's what I'm really hoping doesn't happen with this, because like this is a super interesting concept.
Yeah.
But not a fan at all of how Bane looks.
Oh, yeah, Sumo Bane?
Sumo Bane, like, in theory, that sounds awesome, but they straight up just made him, like, fat like a sumo wrestler.
Yeah, no, he is an outright, like, he is a sumo instead of a really, really buff luchador. Mm-hmm. We have a sumo wrestler with a Bane mask,
but he doesn't look, because like there are sumo wrestlers who, like, no, yeah, you can tell, like, they're this muscly, is their job. Yeah. And there's muscle there. This did not look like that version of a sumo wrestler.
No, this looked like not even like Street Fighter Yokozuna. Yokozuna is a wrestler.
Yeah, no,
Street
you're thinking
Fighter
of
oh god,
not Yokozuna.
No, I can't remember his name from Street Fighter.
Yeah, see,
no.
My brain goes to Heihachi, but it's not.
Do what?
E Honda.
Yes, E Honda. Woo, Yokozuna. That's a name I haven't heard in a really long time.
And you knew it was a wrestler because Ace and I automatically looked at each other like, wait a minute.
I knew it was a wrestler.
I'm just
before.
Happy you know the name Yokozuna.
Yeah, no, that's a deeper cut for you. You were WCW.
I pull out some deep cuts occasionally.
I hate the way Red Hood looks in this.
I hate the way all of the
extended
the Bat Children look.
Damian's hair is so, like, I get they're doing like the traditional, like,
yeah, he looked really weird.
Nightwing looks like a mainstream anime character, and he's the only one that's even kind of presentable.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't mess that one up ish.
I said ish. Yeah.
Do they even have Tim Drake?
There were four of them. Well, I remember.
Okay. I couldn't.
But
the only
I think
ones...
I was so distracted by Red Hood and Damian that I didn't even look at Tim.
Because when she watched it, Mandy watched it with me, and she was like, "What is that thing on his head?" I was like, "That's Red Hood."
Yeah.
Like, I really don't know.
It's like the lantern looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Know.
We talked about that the
it's
last time.
Okay.
Weird paper lantern mask.
It looks interesting. Like, I don't know if I'll buy it, but I'll wait for someone to buy it and see if I can borrow it.
I mean, I'm going to buy it.
Okay.
It's coming out May 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'll have it. I also bought, and I guess we can kind of relate this into this, Batman Gotham by Gaslight.
Oh, yeah. How was that, by the way?
It was really good. It kind of like really combines a bunch of early 19th century myths / legends / stuff that happened all kind of into Gotham. Because it very much, I mean, it's a pre-existing story written by,
yeah.
It was the creator of Hellboy, I think, is the one that wrote it. But I don't remember his name.
No idea.
I don't know.
What are you looking at, Dalton?
I think Tim Drake's the blonde one in that. So whenever you watch it, Tim Drake's the one right next to Damian and he's blonde.
Is it paused? I want
to
see.
Yeah, I just paused it because I was like, I had to think because I was like, I don't know if I remember seeing.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Oh, man, he looks worse than Nightwing. Yeah, though, they really only got that one right.
Okay,
well,
yeah,
I mean,
no.
You
who
say got
that
them right.
That's Damian.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Tim and Nightwing both look like mainstream anime characters.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Nightwing, but
Damian and...
What is that
Cassidy?
Hair?
I don't know.
What
it's
is
anime
that?
Hair.
Oh. No, it's not. that is rolled out of the garbage can.
They were able. They were able to kind
of. Are you talking about Damien?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, Damien's weird.
No,
I'm the Tim Drake hair. I don't approve of missing? Any of that.
Yeah, they were able to get past Tim Drake looking so awful because Damien and Red Hood, which were in between or like were flanking him on both sides, looked so much worse.
It's that thing we talked about with the new look for the Ninja Turtles cartoon. Where it's like everybody was too upset at like Splinter and the Turtles design. No one paid attention to April.
Yeah, yeah, that's accurate.
Which that is finally starting to creep into the.
Oh no,
I'm sure
it
is.
Yeah. It took a good 3 weeks. That's how bad it was.
Gosh. But by the way, the story is really good. It's all about like Batman in the early 19th century. In Gotham, of course, and it's all the characters exist inside this universe,
mm-hmm.
just different. They even have three of the Robins, sort of. It's funny.
I don't like the way you looked at me. Nightwing's not in it, is it?
You're the one that. Well, I mean, it's not Nightwing.
Oh, okay, cool. All right,
but the character exists not as Nightwing. But anyway, and they have kind of like the White City, like the Chicago World's Fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of incorporated into it. They also incorporated Jack the Ripper for reasons.
Okay.
Which, you know, that's London.
I'm on board with that. Like, because it goes back to what we talked about on Earth for Hire, where it's like, give me a detective Batman story.
Yeah, and I absolutely think you will like this
movie.
Where
he's hunting down Jack the Ripper. Mm-hmm. I'm on board.
But I don't think you'll like the plot twist.
Probably won't.
Time travel?
Time traveling Joker.
No, there's nothing to do with time travel. But you still won't like the plot twist.
That's probably fair.
I'm not going to try and read your lips right now.
Okay, sounds good.
So anyway, I enjoyed it, though. I ended up picking it up Friday, and I watched it. I lent it to Trevor. Once he's done with it, I'll lend it to you.
Okay.
It was, like I said, it's good. It's worth watching. If anybody out there is thinking about picking it up, at the very least, give it a rental.
It's that thing we've talked about before with these DC animated. Our movies are so good.
Yeah. Not all of them are winners in everyone's opinion, but...
I used to make it a big deal to buy them on opening day, but I stopped that right around Throne of Atlantis because I did not like that movie.
I never saw Throne of Atlantis.
Yeah.
I mean, I just buy the Batman ones,
mm-hmm.
which there are a lot of.
Every 2 out of 3.
Because Batman is the best.
Yep. But I know, like, Batman and Harley Quinn, not everybody liked that one as much as I did, because boy did I.
And boy did I hate it. I'll be the one to say, that movie was
I didn't watch
awful.
It.
I didn't see it either.
I own it. You guys can come over and watch it. I liked it. It's very Nightwing heavy.
I'm...
Don't!
Should I, like... agree with Dalton for once?
You haven't seen it.
I'm scared. I'm just going to watch the Teen Titan ones and be done with it.
That's a good call, too. God, I hated that movie.
Dalton's likes on certain things confuse me. Everything about this movie, I thought he would like.
There was like one scene, and it's like, oh, it was a fart joke. I'm happy that it was Nightwings. Yay.
Also, it's a movie that has Harley Quinn in the title. I am not surprised at all that Dalton doesn't like it.
Oh, I forgot that Dalton absolutely hates Harley. That actually makes sense why he absolutely hates this film. How were your feelings on Harley Quinn?
I don't know. I don't really know her. She's kind of cool and injustice.
Oh, yes. Amanda was with us, and she loves Harley Quinn, so you had the dichotomy of me absolutely hating everything they were choosing to do with Nightwing and her absolutely loving everything they did with Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you'll actually probably like this movie.
Did we try fire? She was in a burning building. Oh, you're making me angry. What's next?
All right, so Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, I'm more angry now.
Ew.
Next.
Ew, yeah, next. Where's the button?
Apparently, Blumhouse Productions got the movie rights to this, and they have hired Chris Columbus to write, direct, and produce Five Nights at Freddy's.
Man, I wish that bubble would pop soon.
Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yeah, that bubble.
I mean, like, it's kind of like lost its steam in the video game world. It's nowhere near as big of a deal as it was. I remember when the first one came out and became a huge hit.
Oh, again, with what I do, trust me, I know video game trends. I've been waiting for this bubble to pop for a while.
And the first one, like, I thought the game was really, really neat. It was a super neat idea. And it was kind of like unexpectedly scary because I thought like it was just going to be a bunch of dumb jump scares. But the jump is when the terrifying part of it finally ended. Like, everything leading up to that was what was bad. Mm-hmm. I say bad. Like, it's a good kind of bad. Yeah. But anyway, it's getting a movie. So we'll see. And I mean, Blumhouse has been putting out like great low budget stuff lately, and I'm guessing they're going to stick with that trend because, I mean, they're the ones that did Get Out. Of course, they didn't write it or anything.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, I think that one was more on Jordan Peele.
They just made it.
Yeah.
Right.
They let him make it.
they let him make it. But, I mean, I feel like if the idea wasn't there, like, for a good movie, then they wouldn't. But then again, never mind. They can put out crap. Either way, Blumhouse has put out some really, really good stuff.
I've never played any of the Five Nights at Freddy's, but enough people that I, like, watch on YouTube have done Let's Plays of it, and they've shown the, like, the weird, because the story is kind of non-existent. It's like you have to kind of piece it together yourself based on, like, all of the games.
And there's still a bunch of theories and there's official,
because,
like,
because the guy
happened.
Who made it just flat out refuses to, like, say what the actual story is. So it'll be interesting to see how they do this, because Five Nights at Freddy's is also, you know, a survival horror game, but it's got that weird hook where you don't actually move.
Yeah.
So are they doing one where, you know, they follow the guard on his first night? Are they going to deal with, like, the origin story of the purple man and all the kids dying? Or,
and that's
if it's just going to be loosely based on a haunted kid's place? Because, I mean, I think there's potential there, but depending on the story they tell, like, the license that they're using seems not super necessary.
No, I agree, because it is one of those things, like, the way the video game works, we don't have a full story. Which, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. And it's a security guard that has to survive a week. Or, well, 5 nights.
Yeah.
So, what, Dalton?
Also, how the hell are they going to make a horror movie rated PG? Because this is not an adult game.
No.
I mean, it's Blumhouse. I doubt it'll be rated PG.
Yeah, it won't be. Like,
it'll be an R-rated film.
It's very much a kid's property, but it won't be.
And it's not even a kid's property.
Well, the action figures and T-shirts I see on the reg tell me different.
That tells you that kids are buying it.
They market things to kids, but this isn't a kid's game. Like, it's not, you know, it's, I don't think it's even rated. Is it rated?
I don't
it's
know.
It's got to be rated because it's on Steam.
It has to have an ESRB rating. But at the same time, like, the story you'd have to tell and then the audience that you're wanting to sell that movie to seems to me two different kinds of.
Well, it's because they do, like, it's the people that the game itself is targeted to are, like, the YouTubers. So people who are in that age range. It's just those YouTubers' audiences skew crazy young.
Yeah.
So they're the ones that are.
Mike's watched videos of it.
Apparently there is not an ESRB rating on Steam for it.
Hmm.
ESRB only rates console games.
Today I learned.
Yeah, me too. So yeah. Not an actual rating on it. A lot of people are saying, like, yeah, no, it's probably M because of, you know, the stuff it deals with. Because, you know, the robots. No, it has to be rated M. If you think about, like, I guess, Dalton, have you never seen an all the way playthrough of it?
No, I've seen the jump scares and I've seen, like, what the characters look like. I've seen all
okay,
of it.
Okay, but you haven't seen what happens when you lose the game?
No, does it eat you? I don't know.
The robots think that you are an animatronic that has gotten out of its suit.
Oh, so do they just, like, Kevin Smith tusk them?
No, they just brutally force the character into a suit.
So have you seen Tusk?
Yeah, they turn him into a walrus. No, they try to put you into a suit. There's blood everywhere. is what I'm getting at.
It's saying 12 plus on Apple.
But do you ever actually see that?
You see the suit blood leaking from it.
Yeah, And again, it's that thing where I don't know if that would do an M rating. Because you don't actually see the process of it happening.
That's true. It would at the very least be a T rating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't go below T, but.
Yeah, no, this is not a game for children is what I'm getting at.
Right.
So, yeah, either way, we'll see how it goes. I would be interested in seeing the movie. Not in theaters, maybe, but.
I mean, it depends on the reviews, like people whose opinion matters to me. Like, if Shannon saw it and said it was actually a good horror movie, I would probably be way more inclined. I would be way more inclined to see it.
That's fair. I guess I could say, like, I'm not excited at all to see this.
Right.
Just one of those, if it's good, I will watch it.
And it has the potential to be good, but right. We're not necessarily going to stake our claim on that.
Oh, no. No, no, no. all right, looks like Brian Michael Bendis has been hired by 20th Century Fox to pen a Marvel project for Tim Miller. All we know about it currently is that it is titled 143.
But Jesse, we've been talking a lot about Brian Michael Bendis. He's not with Marvel anymore.
Yeah, he very much is with DC now. But I guess that doesn't his DC contract doesn't forbid him from doing Marvel movies. So that's where they're going. And all we know, we don't know anything about this other than it's a project for Tim Miller. Presumably it's the Kitty Pryde project that we announced a while back because we didn't have a writer we didn't have a writer or star attached to it or script or anything.
Just that they wanted to make one.
Yep. So a lot of people are speculating that Bendis is doing the Kitty Pryde movie.
Ooh.
Did you say this would be through Fox?
Yes. But see,
That's still that weird thing where it's like I'm impatient. I know I am. This is a buyout that is going to take years.
Yeah.
I just need to know what Marvel's doing with the X-Men and the mutants as a whole.
Yeah. I do too.
Are they going to keep working with Fox? Like, are they going to shut down studios or rebrand studios? Or what is Marvel's, the MCU impact on this movie?
Yeah,
that's what I want to know.
Because right now, a lot of people are theorizing that the U.S. government isn't going to let this sale go through. Apparently, they're going to do something to try and stop it because monopoly, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Disney has enough money to buy out some senators.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
I don't think that's going to...
But apparently, all of this, them
something
trying to
keep something unsavory might be happening? Oh, yeah. The U.S. government's going to step in.
There's money. Ooh.
Can we have some of that money? We can? Oh, yeah. I don't see anything.
Nothing wrong here. So, yeah. That's a lot of people are saying, though, how Disney's kind of kept the... what is it called? It's the copyright law after everything. Public domain.
Mm-hmm.
Disney
ruined public domain.
Yeah. Yes. That's coming up in the next year. I think it might be 2018 is when Mickey Mouse goes to public domain. And Disney hasn't been fighting it because...
Disney already won. That was supposed to be in public domain 14 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. No, they have kept it 25 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, no, it was a stupid amount of time.
It's been a long time now. And it's one of those things to avoid that bad PR, a lot of people are saying this 20th Century Fox deal might result in Mickey going to public domain.
January 1st, 2024, barring them messing with it more, the first cartoon goes into public domain.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that soon, but it is coming up.
Well, maybe they just meant the drought for the public domain.
Right.
So, the first set of new stuff is coming up in 2018.
Maybe.
Because the public domain hasn't had anything new hit it in almost 30 years because of Disney.
This is the 2018 is going to be the... Because I saw the Adam ruined everything.
Yeah.
He did a thing on public domain. So, the first thing to enter public domain is going to be in 2018. But Mickey Mouse and Disney won't be until 2024.
And that's probably when Disney will somehow figure out a way to circumvent Mickey Mouse from entering public domain.
Again, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the public domain will get new stuff in it for the first time in a really long time.
Oh, I wouldn't hold my breath on that one.
I mean, it probably Disney's not going to fight this Disney's really the only piece is the only thing that could fight public domain, and as long as it's not something they care about, it'll go into public domain.
Yeah.
If Mickey was going to hit this year, and this also was the first year, then yes, I would be.
Yeah, that's why I was really, really shocked when
questionable
I was like,
about it.
"Wait, Mickey's going to hit public domain?" And Disney hasn't been fighting it anyway. So, yeah, that makes more sense. Just more stuff is hitting the public domain, but Mickey doesn't hit till 2024.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Where did that come from? Oh, yeah.
Kitty Pryde movie.
143, the reason that people are thinking it's Kitty Pryde, on top of the fact that that was the most recently announced project from 20th Century Fox, there's an issue of Uncanny X-Men 143. It's very heavily features Kitty Pryde. So they're thinking maybe that... It would be a bad movie to adapt. It would be a bad comic to adapt into a movie, but it does feature Kitty Pryde, and that's why some people are theorizing, maybe that's what 143 means.
Because it's just because we have no idea what anything is actually happening other than Marvel has hired Bendis to make a movie for Fox.
Yep.
I'd watch a Kitty Pryde movie.
Oh, yeah, I would too.
I mean, I was excited to watch one, and then they turned Days of Future Past into a Wolverine movie.
Oh, I know, again.
Which was good. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie, but...
It was. A Wolverine movie, though.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And Bendis, speaking of Wolverine, Bendis was actually, we found out, was offered by Marvel Wolverine and then possibly Deadpool to try and keep him in Marvel. And I guess he turned both of those down, but it was more like when I looked at the context of this, it was more of a, you know, Marvel's trying to figure out what should Bendis do next. Because, I mean, he had some projects with Marvel that were coming to an end, like Spider-Man 2 has ended and a couple of other things. And, yeah, Marvel was trying to throw, like, big names at him, and yeah, I guess he just turned those down to go to DC. It was less that Marvel was trying to...
It was less that Marvel was trying to keep him
and more that, yeah, he turned down two of Marvel's biggest IPs to go to DC.
Well, do I want to do the Superman 1000 or do I want to do the 15th Wolverine book ongoing?
And Deadpool.
I'm surprised they...
I
wonder if they were originally going to just swap Dan Slott move to Iron Man, Bendis get Spider-Man.
I would have read it.
Oh, I mean, I would have read it, but that kind of it's not the same. But someone pointed out that way before any of the like the MCU was even a thought, Sony could have purchased the rights, the remaining Marvel movie rights for $25 million.
Ooh, I bet they're kicking themselves so hard.
They're not. It was a smart call because this was at a time when no one like literally they had Spider-Man, and Spider-Man was the only Marvel character anyone cared about.
Yeah, because people hadn't even cared about Wolverine in a while. Like, Marvel was not doing well. Because
the X-Men movies were not on the table. And like,
yeah, Fox already had those.
And the quote that they gave was literally like, no one cares about Iron Man. And they didn't.
No.
Marvel made them care.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. But, it's just funny.
But it is funny Black Panther is going to make almost $300 million the first weekend it's out. Sony could have bought it for $25. They would have ruined it. See,
oh, yeah.
Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. But
no, I'm very glad that Sony didn't do this. And no, Sony's not kicking themselves for it because it would have been a waste of money for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wouldn't have been able to make anybody care about these characters. Like the way Marvel Studios has done this is just
perfect.
Yeah, above and beyond what anybody could have possibly hoped for. And yeah, Sony would have screwed that up. For sure. Again, see Spider-Man. yeah. So, and going back here, we are now in the comic books portion of our podcast. This section of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri, where you can find all your comic book needs and get a phenomenal cup of coffee. And we actually got to see David and Mary Jo last week.
They had that chocolate chip cookie dough.
Oh, it was delicious.
So good.
That was so good.
Move to Cape. Too far away.
Yes, please.
I would also be okay with this decision.
Or make deliveries.
Just open up
to
a place.
Cape?
Cater my needs, dang it. I never get to go.
You heard the woman. Make it happen.
Hi.
I don't. Well, one of their workers is actually going to school in Cape, so that might work for you.
And then you could just let Mandy manage it.
Love me, yes.
Give her a job, and everybody will be happy.
Oh, but they all know I can't get up that early.
Shh, don't.
No, they know.
No, they don't know that.
They know now.
Well, with coffee, you could.
I was going to say, but you'd be working where the wake-up comes from.
Exactly. You'd be working with the source of the wake up.
I drink hot chocolate.
Jesus.
Get used to coffee real quick.
Do it.
Yeah, just a little shot of espresso.
Espresso shot. You wake up.
Oh, yeah. Be up in no time.
See the future.
So, anyway, moving back in here, Invincible has ended its run with issue 144. That is a comic book that's been going since 2003.
My lord.
It's written by Robert Kirkman. You might recognize the name from Walking Dead and other various projects. You at the very least recognize Walking
you
Dead.
You know the Walking Dead. Don't be...
Shrug. I don't know what character that is, though.
No. Oh, my...
He's the guy who made the Walking Dead.
I don't know. I don't know that.
You know that thing where y'all get mad at me for being contrary sometimes? That is way worse than anything I've ever done.
I'm
says
so
you.
Upset because of Asa from earlier.
No,
I've never denied something's existence like she did. No, I don't know what you're talking about. That's only one of the best shows on AMC right now.
I don't think that's
longest
true.
Running.
Yeah, longest running. Because I think even the spinoff of The Walking Dead is better than The Walking Dead at this point.
I haven't watched it.
I haven't either.
They've done two different spinoffs. One's a talk show dealing with the show. You know The Walking Dead, you turd. she's making me angry now.
So anyway, I also found out while looking at this that there's a movie coming for Invincible. Apparently, it's going to be adapted, as in written, directed, and produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
Seth Rogen makes me happy. I mean, it's not going to be good. I will see it.
See, like, it's weird. It's one of those things where it's like sometimes the stuff Seth Rogen does is really good. Sometimes it's really bad.
See, super bad, and then
Food Fight. I hated that movie.
Food Fight. Which one was that?
Or
Sausage Party.
Sausage Party. Sorry.
Yeah. I was just like, wait a minute. What's Food Fight? Because I was gonna say Sausage Party.
No, Sausage Party was garbage.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Yeah. No. I had that on in the background, and I looked over for a couple of funny moments, but I mostly ignored it.
It was just, look how gross we can be with cartoon characters. Cartoons are for kids, guys. South Park has been around since, like, 1950, so
yeah.
Kind of late to that one.
Boy, could they be gross. But also, like, Pineapple Express was a fun movie.
Yeah.
Enjoyed that one.
Mm-hmm. I liked the movie that I always get confused with, the third Cornetto Trilogy movie.
This Is the End?
Maybe. Where it's they play fictionalized versions of themselves.
Yes, yes. This Is the End.
I thought that one was funny.
No, yeah, This Is the End was really funny.
Okay, maybe it's just Sausage Party.
Well,
I feel like there's been other stuff that hasn't been great, but it does.
There's got to be. There's got to be. But either way.
Because we want to doubt him.
I don't think I've read much of Invincible, like, at all.
I haven't.
I know what he looks like. I know.
The first time I read that, when I actually sent this to the Nerd News, I legitimately got it confused with another book, Irredeemable.
Nice.
That's a very different book.
Yeah, it's a super different book. But that's another one, which apparently that one ended a while back. But it's just a thing that I have been... it was just in my brain, and I saw that word that began with I... And I was like, oh, wow, Irredeemable's over. That's kind of neat. Because I like the idea of that story.
Yeah. But, okay, so they did... there are a couple of bad ones in there. Other than...
Sausage Party.
Because there was... A lot of people didn't like Green Hornet.
Oh, I love that movie.
I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But
I wasn't a fan.
A lot of people disliked that one. They also did The Night Before... And I can't find the other one that I thought was bad. Hmm. Either way, they've also done a lot more stuff that I've forgotten about that's really good, like Neighbors and Neighbors 2. Both of those movies were surprisingly funny.
Yeah, those movies are dumb, but they're really good.
I was okay with Neighbors. I didn't think it was that great.
I didn't see the second one.
They're
dumb good time. All right, yes. So maybe Invincible will be good.
Right? Because also the Interview... That was another one I didn't think of.
Oh,
I liked The Interview a lot.
Gold.
And they also did Goon. I did not know they did Goon.
Well, hell, Invincible's going to be awesome.
Could be. We'll
Depends
see.
If their year, if it's their off year. Huh?
Well, Sausage Party was like 2 years ago. So, yeah, no, they're due for a good one.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he work on Disaster Artist with Franco?
Yes. Yeah,
that's a movie I've been wanting to see.
I heard it was really good, but yes, they did The Disaster Artist.
They won
something for it.
Golden Globe?
Maybe.
I think it was a Golden Globe.
Yeah, because that actually did, you know, it starred James Franco and Seth Rogen.
I just remember they actually brought up Tommy Wiseau.
Yes.
To like help with them to accept the award.
Yep. They also gave him tickets to the premiere.
They better have.
So anyway, yeah, it could be great then. Like, alright, I'll see it. I'll watch it.
Invincible is just not a franchise that I immediately think of Seth Rogen, so that's why I was.
Yeah, I always forget that Seth Rogen is a huge comic book nerd.
Yeah.
So this very much is something he would do.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Wolverine. This is going to be the bulk of our discussion here.
Mm-hmm.
So Wolverine is getting four 4-issue miniseries for his return.
Now, Jesse, it's getting a 4-issue miniseries?
Oh, Dalton. 4 4-issue miniseries.
But why? He keeps saying that word twice.
Why wouldn't you just make
one long series?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you make a 16-issue?
Because they're wanting to tell 4 different types of stories.
But he has like 8,000 stories. Why does he get all the attention? I'm gonna flip a table.
Because next to Spider-Man, he sells more comic books than any other Marvel character.
No.
The first one's gonna be his right hand punching that adamantium until it breaks. The next one's gonna be his left hand punching that adamantium until it breaks.
So what we've got here is 16 issues. It starts in May. Jeez. And it's going to be called The Hunt for Wolverine, but each of the miniseries has a different motif and a different title with a different creative team. So we've got Weapon Lost, which will be written by Charles Soule with art by Matteo Bufani. It's going to be a detective story. Looks like it's going to be featuring at least a bit of Daredevil. So that one actually sounds really cool because Charles Soule's Daredevil's run has been really good. The Adamantium Agenda, which is Tom Taylor and R.B. Silva, and that's going to be more of an action-adventure style book. Then we've got The Claws of a Killer, which is Mariko Tamaki and Butch, I don't know how to say his last name, I think it's just pronounced Gucci. Because it is, it is G-U-I-C-E.
His name is Butch Gucci.
It could be Goose. It could be.
And no, it's Gucci. Oh, no, it has to be because his first name is Butch.
So, and that's going to be a horror book. And then you've got Mystery in Madripoor, which will be written by Jim Zub with art by Chris Piccolo, and that's going to be a dark romance novel.
Gee, this is
but
dumb.
But it's all to tell one story. Like, it's all like...
It's all to tell how Wolverine's coming back to life.
Right, and it just, like... That just seems, like, way too much. Like, too many different styles, too many different...
Yes.
Too much creative input. Like, that seems like a nightmare.
What's going to happen whenever one of them's book gets delayed and then the next person's book spoils what happens in that book?
Especially considering, like, it's all of this and the final buildup is a throwaway scene that we've already gotten.
Yeah.
Where he's alive.
Where he's just on a motorcycle.
So these are
an Infinity Stone.
Coming out at the same time? Like one mini four.
I think it's going to go one, then. Yeah, it's just going to do, the 4, not simultaneously.
And the next 4.
Yeah, you're going to get Weapon Lost, then the Adamantium Agenda,
and
then Claws of a Killer.
Out, like, every 2 weeks or whatever it is? Like,
probably. We haven't gotten details on that release schedule. But yeah, no, that would be ridiculous if it was a monthly. Because that would take a year and a half get through
it's
that.
Just all of your Wolverines for forever, so what does it matter? Because the characters don't matter, apparently.
And it's going to launch in May. And the thing is, like, it is actually going to feature a bunch of other characters. Like I said, Daredevil is going to be a big part of Weapon Lost. I know Mystery and Madripoor is going to feature a whole lot of Mystique and Domino and a few other characters. Then you've got a lot of the Avengers are going to be in the Adamantium Agenda. Claws of a Killer is going to have Lady Deathstrike and a few other of the X-Force characters. So, could be good. We'll see. I'm not really interested in Mystery of Madripoor because a dark romance story doesn't sound like something I want to read. But at the same time, like, we'll see how the rest of it's gone. I am really excited for Weapon Lost, though.
I was going to say, you're going to buy the one with Daredevil.
Yes, I am. So, yeah, we'll see. All of this, you can get on a list to make sure that you get an issue if you just stop by Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri.
If you want 1 or 16, because that's how they're doing. This is stupid. I can't say how stupid this is. So stupid.
We'll see when it comes
out. One's a romance novel about Wolverine coming back.
This isn't... Each of these 4 stories aren't necessarily about Wolverine's return. Wolverine's return will be told across these 4 stories... But that may not necessarily be...
Then what you just explained was more dumb than what I explained. Just, here's a romance story. Hey, Wolverine, what's up? How you been? You still dead?
Oh, by the way, you also are on your way back from the dead.
Yeah.
Again, we'll have to see. But we don't know that it's a romance novel about Wolverine's return to life.
But the way you explained it sounded way worse to me.
That's fine.
I have questions that I need questions answered right now. Oh, good thing I had three miniseries beforehand.
We'll see.
This is so dumb.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yes, Dad.
Garbage.
All right, and on to video games. This portion of our podcast brought to you by our good friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. They do a whole lot of great content. You can find it all at www.ps2jshow.com. We've got the history of gaming episodes or ones I particularly recommend at the end of each month.
No, not this month. I'm salty about it.
Oh, did you already find out what it was?
No. He just delayed it.
Oh, yeah.
See, I listen to the shows. I don't talk to the source, which is kind of messed up when you think about it. Also, they have a new podcast where Josh and his sister review movies. They did Burlesque.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I think they were going to take turns picking movies that the other person doesn't want to see. Josh doesn't seem like the kind of person that likes Burlesque.
Oh, I wonder if that was part of whenever we were playing the other night, he said he was going to watch...
They had something to do with the Muppets the other day.
Well, they were talking about Muppets, yeah, yes, but that wasn't the... I forgot the movie he said he was going to make her watch, but...
Yeah, no, there was a movie that she made him watch,
Burlesque.
I think. It was before that.
Oh. Well, then she just apparently doesn't have a good sister making him watch movies he doesn't want to watch.
I don't remember what movie unless it was. It was a movie I was really surprised he's
unless you
seen.
Absolutely love your sister, Josh, to which I apologize for saying mean things.
We'll see. Yeah. Anyway.
But check their stuff out.
PS2JShow.com. They have a lot of great content out there. All right. So on to what upset Mandy so much. Square Enix confirmed.
Do you want me to say it so she doesn't get mad at you too?
It's fine. I think she's already gotten out that
hashtag
aggression.
Square Enix thing.
So Square Enix said that they did not announce a Kingdom Hearts 3 release date announcement at E3. Meaning what we thought we were getting a release date at E3, that's not actually happening.
Yeah, because a lot of places were reporting that, okay, we got the trailer at the D23 Expo in Japan. And they will announce their official release date for Kingdom Hearts 3 at E3. And then it turns out, nope, that was just kind of like a random tweet from someone who was watching D23.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in Japanese, so like it either a miscommunication in the translation of it, or what led to this kind of snowballing to...
Well, I hope he feels terrible and...
Well, yeah, I'm
other
sure they...
things that are probably hateful for just letting the entire world down right now.
The entire world.
This is not the time.
I'm adding emphasis.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah,
I'm doing.
Okay. Yeah, no, they understand me, Jesse. They're listening. They know.
I also want everybody to know that I totally called some stupid stuff like this happening a couple weeks back. Be like, I'm going to wait till I actually see a date.
Because that's not what you were talking about.
That's not even what you said at all.
Yeah, that's not what you're talking about at all.
Because they would give you a date and you still wouldn't believe that.
That is correct. You'd be smart not to. But that's not what you were talking about.
They let me down before I even got a date. Nice.
Well, to be fair,
this wasn't... They haven't said that they're not giving us a date at E3. They just said that they aren't...
They did not make a formal announcement saying that they didn't promise us a date at E3.
Which means we're not going to get one.
I don't understand why they hate us. I buy all their other stuff.
That's why
you continue to buy.
Kingdom Hearts 3
releases, like that's it. That's the end of the purchasing bandwagon.
Then they do the VR. Then
Kingdom Hearts 4 for 2030.
Then
2030. That's awfully optimistic.
Next one after we've circled around.
Oh, right.
Time is a flat
circle. And
then
you got the Kingdom Hearts 3 remix.
3.5, and then
the next 3DS games and the Switch game.
3.92.
Yeah. I'll have a new hit by the time this game comes out.
Oh, guys, that's how you get Manny to buy a Switch.
No, because it has to be on a PlayStation controller. 20 years in this game on the PlayStation controller, I can't switch.
No,
Pro controller. It's almost the exact same.
No.
Plus, you bought that PSP game and the DS games.
Those are true.
But those weren't the main series.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're going to get a spinoff of Kingdom Hearts that's going to be Switch exclusive.
No, it's not. Because it's Sony.
Pluto's Revenge. Kingdom
they
Hearts
did
5.
3DS exclusives.
No. They did. They just put them on PS4
those
later.
Aren't
they
aren't real.
No, they totally are, dog.
She's just in like the hardest of hardcore denials.
A PlayStation 4 of Kingdom Hearts. I'm going to cry. You're upsetting me with your anger. I could cry. You guys are so mean.
No, we're not. I'm on your side. I want it too.
You're
but
yelling at me.
They are.
You see these? I'm gonna make legit tears right now.
Yeah, I know. Me too. But we're never getting.
All right.
Game.
Well, before that happens, we'll talk about Sea of Thieves for a minute.
Oh, and then I can cry.
Oh, so now we're just hands while we cry together. We'll just handshake.
It'll work. That's they're something close to.
I'm so happy they're doing this on an audio podcast.
I mean, you all could fill time.
You guys kept talking while you were doing it.
That's
I'm
true.
Just going to throw that out
that
there.
Happened.
But anyway, Sea of Thieves. We're getting microtransactions 3 months in. They have confirmed. And at this point, I get it. It's going to be a consistent online multiplayer game, mm-hmm. and Rare doesn't have anything else keeping income up.
And they potentially lost a giant source of income by letting this go to Games Pass.
Yes.
Because we don't know how much money Microsoft gave them to be able to put it, because apparently that's how that works, is they approach developers, be like, we will give you this giant lump sum of money for it to be allowed to be on a streaming service or like a PS Plus game of the month.
Well, see, the thing is,
well, maybe not giant, but
Microsoft owns Rare.
Yeah.
So they didn't necessarily have to give them anything. They could have just said, yes, this game that you've been working on, we're going to give it to everyone in the Games Pass at release.
Oh, see, that'd be just shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, you'd think.
But so, like, we don't. But I also feel like this is a good game for Games Pass, because how many people are going to play it on Games Pass that would not have spent $60 on it?
A lot, yeah. I am certain. So it's...
Like you said, it is a game that's going to require income to keep running, because it's a game as a service. It is an ongoing title. Ideally, they're going to want this to be going for a long time, and that does cost money.
Right. Cost money for upkeep, and I get it. And so far, it seems like they're doing microtransactions correctly, in that it's all cosmetic.
In a game that the only purpose of playing the game is to unlock cosmetic items. Eat me. No. That's... No. If, as long as, like, I can buy these things, like, with the gold that we're earning, then that's cool. But if it's, like, a special currency, like dust or something in Destiny, and you can only earn dust by buying it, and these vendors only accept dust... No.
In complete fairness, if you're playing Sea of Thieves with the hopes, with your objective being anything other than sailing around as a pirate, presumably with friends, then you're not going to have a good time in this game.
Right.
Because there is literally no progression system.
No, it's all cosmetic.
Yeah, like you earn gold to buy stuff in the game to make you look a little different. But, like, the sword, the guns, everything that you buy, like, with in-game gold has zero impact on anything except how you look.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, it doesn't really bother me that some items, like, and it doesn't look like it's going to be, like, okay, I say it doesn't look like. All we have so far is the first update that's going to hit are purchasable pets. So it's not like there's a super different version of a sword or a super different version of an outfit. And also, in fairness, I'd be fine with that unless they tell you you can spend real money to buy already existing items. Because if somebody buys, like, you know, there's a special coat that's for sale that's like a Christmas-themed coat. Mm-hmm. You see that person out in public, and you're like, oh, that person dropped cash on that coat. Neat. Someone that's like, oh, you got that ridiculously expensive item sold at this shop. So either you spent a whole lot of real money or you put a whole lot of time into this game. I don't like that part.
Well, see, we'll see. I don't know. I hate the idea that they're selling cosmetic stuff in a game that is solely about getting cosmetic stuff.
Well,
because like you said, that is the
that's the one reward.
That's the one thing that you can actively work towards.
Yeah, is cosmetic items.
I'm just going to buy the controller. And I'm like, and like you, like I'm someone who needs, I need there to be a point. And I'm fine with the point being to look cooler as a pirate. But if I can just pay money like that, I hate this. I am glad that it is not going to be game affecting stuff, seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's good. But, it's gross.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, and I know some of you might even be thinking like, well, you guys play Call of Duty. Yeah, I got them gold guns. That's the point that I see in Call of Duty. That's what I progress toward.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I have fun playing with my friends.
Right.
I feel like Sea of Thieves will be an identical situation.
I'm going to have fun playing with my friends, and then I'm going to get a really cool looking coat. Like, my pirate's going to look real neat. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like what I'm going to do with it. So we'll see how this goes. The pet idea sounds cool. You can get...
It sounds awesome. I would love to be able to...
And you're apparently...
chests.
You will be able to earn that kind of currency in-game. Mm-hmm. But I imagine... I guess it depends on how they do it. If it's like Blizzard, where you can get, like, you know, the currency super easy with about 40 minutes worth of gameplay, gets you a loot box.
Right.
Versus, you know...
Grand Theft Auto, where, hey, you want this new awesome flying car? That'll be $10 million. Oh, you want to do a four-hour heist? Here's $3 million.
Yeah.
Max. Like, yeah. Oh, no. Or, well, you could just buy a shark card.
And see, that I dislike a whole lot.
$40 and the car is yours.
So, yeah, we'll have to see how it goes, because the pet system, like, they did, and again, all of this stuff about the first update with the pets, none of it's even official, other than, like, 3 months in, we're getting the first update, and it will likely be pets. Just kind of, like, cool little cosmetics, like a parrot for your shoulder, or a monkey, or a cat, or a little puppy.
And, like, yeah, it sounds super cool. I just, please don't lock it behind microtransactions.
Yeah, and at the very least...
Give me something else to work towards other than just clothes.
The one bright side to this, well, I guess the other bright side of this, other than the fact that it's cosmetic, is that it's not loot box related.
Yeah.
You're not buying loot boxes. If you want the parrot for your shoulder, you pay X dollars and you get a parrot. If you're like Mandy and you want a puppy for your ship, you pay X dollars and you get a puppy. So at least there's that.
Right, and yeah, that, like, and that, again, that is a good thing. I will give them partial credit for that. It's baffling to me that they're putting microtransactions in it at all. Especially with what we've seen of the game and how content light it is. And in fairness, I know it's not the full release. And like, even from the data mining thing that we got a couple weeks ago. It does not sit well with how little we're getting in the full release for them to add in microtransactions.
It really doesn't surprise me that there are going to be microtransactions, though. It
doesn't surprise me, because, again, I understand that that's just how companies work now. This is where we are.
Yeah. But if you're going to keep getting updates for a game, then people have to keep working on the game. Something has to pay those people to work on the game.
But it's just, this is, damn. I'm very unhappy about just all of it.
Yeah, no, I get it.
There are good sides to it. And yeah, it's not as, like, they're not going full EA.
Right.
But, no.
So, yeah. And again, at least there's not loot boxes. Speaking of, several states, Hawaii has actually introduced legislation for loot boxes in video games. In the state of Hawaii, what they're trying to push for is that video game companies will have to publish clear and upfront that the game does have loot boxes and promotes gambling-like game mechanics. Mm-hmm. Because there are people that have a gambling problem and loot boxes kind of scratch that itch.
Yep.
So, yeah, that it makes perfect sense to me that you want to put that on there. New Hampshire and Washington are working on similar legislation. New Hampshire in particular wants to get the ESRB raised. If a game has loot boxes, they want it to be rated M.
Yep.
Because it's gambling.
I could see ESRB introducing a new rating. I don't know if it would necessarily be age gated, but it would absolutely have loot boxes listed.
Yeah.
Like an L rating or something. So it's like, okay, you need to be 18 to buy it, and here's why. Is the loot boxes its own thing.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about, I don't know if it's China or where it was, but that is law over there already, is that if a game has microtransactions, the game has to tell you your exact odds of getting every single item.
Yeah, that is China and Japan.
I don't think these are bad. Like, I don't think more government regulations over video games is necessarily a good thing. I think this is a time that ESRB needs to step in and kind of like, okay, we'll handle this without prompting.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, I don't think this is a bad thing.
I don't either. Like, I'm kind of with you that legislation shouldn't interfere with the creation of the game at all. Mm-hmm. But I do like the ESRB idea, for sure. getting the ESRB to do something about the fact that it is, does have gambling mechanics in it, I'm completely fine with that. It might deter games from doing it because there are some people that won't, like if they've got, you know, an M rating because it has micro or it has loot boxes in it. And importantly, it's not just microtransactions. It is loot boxes and other, you know, randomized chance stuff.
Right.
Anything kind of similar to gambling is what they're looking for. And I do like that idea because there are people that, you know, they won't put out an M rated game. And if loot boxes get you an M rating, then they might deter them from putting loot boxes in the game.
Yeah, because then, like, you go into the thing of being like, well, Overwatch is an M-rated game now. Like, don't really agree with that too wholeheartedly. I'd be cool if there being a thing saying, like, there are a loot box microtransaction system in this game, but I don't think it should get an M-rating.
And again...
And that's what I mean with, like, the ESRB introducing a new, like, rating.
Right, not just M, but, yeah.
Like, you could even just keep the same rating system, but just, like, E10, L.
Yeah.
ML. Like, where it is a thing, and you do have to, like, mature is for the content, but yes, you have to be 18 to buy an L game, but it's not for the actual content, it's for this practice of
loot boxes.
Yeah. Because they're even talking about, like, you know, the senator from New Hampshire was talking about how it's even a problem in, you know, Roblox and Minecraft, which are two of, like, the biggest games for kids, like, 14 and under.
Yeah.
Playing a ton of, Roblox and Minecraft, and both of them have microtransactions. Roblox has loot boxes.
I just remember when not the last time we were there, but the time before, when we went up to the gaming center in Perryville, and, the TVs were almost all full, and just one little kid tells the other little kid, Roblox is for babies, as he turns back to his Minecraft.
Well, everybody can enjoy Minecraft.
That tickles me.
But yeah. No, that was funny. Anyway, I'll be interested to see what comes out of this. I don't want loot boxes to be outright banned, because while I don't like it, I don't like that kind of restrictions being put on
content creators.
That's the problem. Like, it's a slippery slope when you start doing that.
And also, there's like Overwatch. Overwatch, I have no problem
with their loot box system.
Yeah, now they fixed it, and you don't get duplicates all the time anymore.
Yeah, like, there were issues. I haven't played enough Overwatch to really, like, see the changes that they've made yet. But, like, it seems like, even from the get-go, like, yes, you were getting a lot of duplicates, and you really weren't getting the amount of currency you should have for the duplicates you got. But it was easy enough to earn them. You could earn them so quickly. But then you also have a game, but then on the opposite end of the spectrum, like something like the newest Need for Speed game that EA put out, where it is a straight-up slot machine where you get upgrades that you may or may not even need.
Yeah.
So there are good ways of doing it. It's that thing where one blanket statement isn't going to be helpful.
Right. Yeah. Because, some games, like Blizzard has made a stupid amount of money from loot boxes.
Was that last week or was that this week where the headline was Blizzard made like $7.4 billion in microtransactions this year?
Yeah, across.
And out of their base, like just people buying games and add-ons, they made $4
billion. Yeah.
So they almost doubled their income just off of loot boxes.
Yeah, I think that headline did hit this week. And that was a big deal across all of their games. Which, granted, they do have a ton of games.
Right.
But that was significant because, I mean, they had like Overwatch has had three events in the last, few months. That's gotten them quite a bit of currency. Like Blizzard's made a ton of money off of microtransactions because they're one of the few companies out there that do it correctly.
Yeah, they do it well.
Yeah. They do it. We're a point where I can't argue with it.
Oh, it's that thing where it's like in a perfect world, they wouldn't be there. And like the need to be able to pay money for things isn't there, but that's just we have moved past that as a society, and it's unfortunate in my opinion, but they do it correctly,
right? And it's one of those things, Overwatch, they constantly bring you, and we've talked about it like ad nauseum, like how Overwatch does it, because you get any new character they release, you get for free. Like if you own the game, you get new characters, new maps, new game modes, all of it, like all the events, everything about it is all just completely available to you for the cost of the game. If you want the skins and the sprays and stuff like that, you can get them in-game without spending a dime. Mm-hmm. You probably won't get all of them per event, but you will, like, you can get them. But
I do wish you could buy the player icons in Overwatch.
Yeah, you can't even buy those credits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. Because I'm missing, like, a handful of them that kind of upset me.
And they need to put an order to those icons.
Yeah.
Like,
that's been, like, a constant request.
Oh, my God. I was trying to tell John, I was like, man, I really want this player icon. It took us, like, 5 minutes to find it for him because it's not even in the same order ever.
Yeah, because it's kind of organized by character, and which is almost organized alphabetically.
No.
But then, like, there are exceptions with each, like, Zenyatta's icons are in, like, two different places, like, in groups.
It's just a cluster meme.
Yeah, it's weird. But anyway, all right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Thank you for tuning in. We will talk to you guys next week. We've got, is this I Want to Believe Tuesday, or is it Mr. 100?
No, it's Mr. 100, Five-Star Man.
Okay, so we have Mr. 100 on Tuesday, PWU on Wednesday. We'll have PZ85 After Dark on Thursday. Then we'll be back here next Sunday with another episode of Nerd Up. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.